This evening, President Bush delivers his third State of the Union address. Traditionally, it's a time when the president lays out his vision for the coming year and beyond, a time for promises and proposals, both great and small. Last year, President Bush talked about the need to intervene in Iraq and touted the hydrogen-powered car. In 1997, President Clinton addressed everything from the need for a balanced budget to the importance of school uniforms. What other promises have past presidents made, and how many of those proposals actually got passed and put into action? Charles Eichner has written about presidential elections and the presidency for Congressional Quarterly, and he's with us now from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and good of you to be on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me.
Does the State of the Union actually look like a pretty good outline of the executive's agenda for that year?
Usually it does. State of the Union really combines the poetry and the prose of politics. And it includes everything from the most boring and mundane laundry lists to some of the issues that the president really wants everybody in the country to talk about. And if you look at the State of the Union addresses over the last 10, 20, 30 years, you see some amazing signals of what's to come in the different presidencies.
Give us a for instance.
Well, one for instance is the most obvious. Last year, President Bush was obviously intent on going to war with Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and he made the case that there was proof of weapons of mass destruction. But there's some other examples that are even more impressive. Lyndon Johnson in 1965, in a really underrated State of the Union address, called for the Great Society and laid out not only a domestic rationale for that, but an international rationale for that. In 1970, Richard Nixon called for a new federalism, a kind of swapping of powers between the state and federal government. He didn't get what he wanted, and there's some scholars who think that that's what led to his administrative, secretive presidency, which ultimately led to Watergate. Lots of examples like that.
Now, what are the pros and cons of making, campaign promises in your State of the Union address?
Well, if the more clear you are, the more people are going to call you on it. And I think Bush might be seeing this next year as the Iraq crisis continues on. He put himself front and center quite boldly as the person who was going to confront terrorism by taking on Saddam Hussein. And Richard Nixon in 1970 with his new federalism, Ronald Reagan in 1982 with his new federalism, Jimmy Carter with his energy programs, on and on. The more you make issues high profile, the more you're going to be called on it later on.
We're speaking with Charles Eichner at the Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, you've talked about things, obviously, on a major policy like invading Iraq. People are going to hold the President of the United States accountable. As you look back, you mentioned Richard Nixon's failure to get one policy may have changed his mind. But in terms of all of those things that the President says in the State of the Union address, do people really go back and say, you know, yes here, no there, yes here, well, give him a maybe on that?
No, they don't give him a report card for every last thing he says in a State of the Union address. The President says so much these days. The President just can't stop talking these days. That
even after Bill Clinton left office. Yeah.
That's right. There's no way anybody can remember all that. But they do remember particular things from the State of the Union address. And there are certain issues and themes and catchphrases that live on after the State of the Union address is over. And it helps to kind of create a climate of political discussion. And people do remember that and carry that on.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, one good example is Bill Clinton in 1999. The Republicans in Congress were looking for a way to pass new tax cuts. And Clinton, because the deficits had turned into huge surpluses, and Clinton decided he wanted to prevent that. And he came up with a four-word phrase, which really succeeded in doing it: save Social Security first. And it really kind of transformed what was a very volatile political situation at the time. Clinton won that round. Gore should have been able to carry it to victory in 2000. But, of course, now Bush has reversed course on that.
What would you estimate is the ratio between grandstanding and sincere policy advocacy?
Oh, that's a good question. I would probably call it 50-50, to tell you the truth. State of the Union address is a really important opportunity for the president not only to get a bump in the polls, but also to really push forward the three, four, five things that he cares about the most. And if it were all grandstanding and all games and all kind of pointing to the First Lady's box where the latest hero of the year is sitting, then the president wouldn't be doing much for his agenda. So there's a real balance there between the pomp of the place and of the event on the one hand, and the desire to really kind of push forward three or four policy issues, however grinding that process is day to day.
And people say, you know, a president is eventually going to be remembered for three or four big things, whether they are positive or negative. Interesting, you talk to campaigns a lot and they say, you know, what's going to be that Kennedy moment? What's going to be that moonshot moment? Well, President Bush has already given his moonshot moment.
That's right. Well, President Bush has really used these addresses as a way of dominating the political discussion from his first term, from his first year in office onward. In 2002, he coined the axis of evil phrase, and that has really guided his foreign policy. It was also then that he promised that we would stay shoulder to shoulder with the Afghanis in the aftermath of 9/11. And of course, last year he made his push for war with Iraq.
And we'll have to see what will result tonight. That was my subtle way of saying we're running out of time, Charles.
I figured it out.
Charles Eichner, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Charles Eichner, Executive Director of the Rappaport Institute for Greater Boston at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government, and he was with us from the Harvard campus in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.